Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. As the northern Syrian city of Kobani continues to be under attack by ISIL terrorists, more and more people are looking at Turkey's inaction in this situation. Now, the Kurdish city of Kobani sits near the Turkish border, and as the international community has called for anyone to do whatever they can to help the Kurds in Kobani, Ankara won't even let the Kurds inside of Turkey who want to go to help fight ISIL depart Turkish territory. Clashes are taking place inside of Turkey because of the government's stance, and tens of people have already been killed as Turkish police crack down on Kurds, and Ankara simply looks the other way.
Kobani continues resisting in the face of a brutal offensive by ISIL Takfiri militants. The ISIL has been trying to fully capture the northern Kurdish city. Its latest raid on Kobani has been repelled by the Kurdish defenders. Reports from the battlefield say Kurdish fighters have inflicted heavy losses on ISIL militants while they are trying to make further advances. The militants have captured some areas of Kobani, only a stone's throw from the Turkish territory. Turkey has deployed tanks and other weapons along its border with Syria, but it's just watching the Syrian border city being strangled by well-equipped ISIL militants. Ankara has come under immense pressure over its stance on the situation in Kobani and the ISIL. It just refuses to allow any military hardware or aid to be sent to the defenders of Kobani. Ankara says any assistance to the civilians in Kobani is conditional on the U.S. and its allies hitting the Syrian government forces alongside the ISIL militants.
Turkey should give assistance to the defenders of Kobani. It should open a corridor through which assistance and arms can be sent to people.
Turkey has openly supported the insurgents fighting to topple the Syrian government over the past years. A founder of Turkey's ruling AK Party has confirmed this. Denjermir Mehmet Ferhat says Ankara has made substantial concessions to terrorist groups in an effort to hamper the Kurds' efforts to establish autonomy in the north of Syria, which is densely populated by the Kurds. Ferhat criticized the Turkish government's policy in Syria as a miscalculation.
Turkey has a double game going on here, but they are not the only ones. The thing that struck me the most here is Turkey has really invested a lot in the past to kind of cool things down with the Kurds. They made a strategic decision to try to give them their autonomy and to stop having problems with the Kurds. And of course, what's happening now, he's really risking erasing all of that investment that was made by blocking the reinforcements going in. He's really letting Kobani twist in the wind here with the threat of a slaughter.
Turkey, along with some regional Arab states and the United States, has done its utmost to help bring about regime change in Syria. Ankara has allowed the militants from all extremist groups to use its territory to sneak into Syria to join the insurgency against Damascus. The policy hasn't paid off. Instead, it has fueled concerns inside Turkey, with critics of the Turkish government describing Ankara's stance as counterproductive.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Washington, D.C., a member of the Congressional Defense Policy or Congressional Defense Policy Advisor, Mr. Frederick Peterson, and out of Orlando, Florida, former American intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Ricord. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in Washington, D.C., and Mr. Peterson. Well, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said that there is no difference for him between the Kurds who want to go and fight ISIL and ISIL itself. What does that say to you about the Turkish leader's stance, and where does that leave the Kurds in Kobani if they were hoping for some help to come from Turkey?
Well, what is happening, I think what we're seeing play itself out here is a general weakening of NATO, both its command authority, its moral leadership, and its actual physical leadership and ability to conduct policy. This is a result of many things going on within the constituent members of NATO, particularly the United States, and the refusal, literally, of the United States to assert itself in leadership in that part of the world, rather than mere window dressing and ornaments on a tree. We also see in Turkey kind of a policy that is contradicting itself. On the one hand, they run tanks to a border. They make general statements about support of NATO policy, support of international policy against this alliance, against this thug, brutish force that presumes to call itself the Islamic State, and yet is a tremendous challenge not only to Turkey and to the region, but to the world. And what we have is the Turks are conflicted because even within themselves, they have constituent groups that are vying for power, and they do not have strong, dynamic leadership in the tradition, shall we say, of Kemal Atatürk, who took the what was known as the sick man of Europe, that being Turkey in the last century, and emerged as a strong, powerful force bridging East and West and becoming a rather significant player in the world. We see Turkey, as we see other constituent players, slipping back into history, into the mire, and becoming a contradiction within themselves, not able to stand up to the thugs of the Islamic State or ISIL or whatever they choose to call themselves today.
Well, Mr. Peterson,
today,
I want to look at...
The brutish state.
Okay,
yes.
Mr. Peterson, I want to look at one part... I want to look at one part of what you had said, that basically it's a sign of a NATO basically having problems within itself and perhaps the beginning of the end of NATO. Why do you say that? I want to look at that aspect of what you have just said.
Well, we see the deputy leader of the British, or the, excuse me, the German Bundestag coming out representing the Green Party, a woman, a strong woman, demanding that Turkey stand up and fulfill its responsibilities to the principles of the NATO and European alliance, and in fact to all of humanity that cares for human values in that part of the world. And yet Turkey is refusing. Turkey is having, as we said, window dressing. The United States' contribution to this has been airstrikes that have done virtually nothing except antagonize and provide a recruiting tool for ISIL, and have had very little effect to what is on the ground. Have the Kurds in the area been supplied with weapons, ammunition? No. In fact, weapons and ammunition have flowed to the ISIS fighters through Turkey.
All right, stay with me, Mr. Peterson. Let me get Mr. Ricard. Stay with me, Mr. Peterson. Let me get Mr. Ricard in on this. Mr. Ricard, your take of exactly what is going on, as Mr. Peterson has said, of course, the United States is involved in limited airstrikes that definitely have not been affected at all. And we see Turkey basically doing absolutely nothing as the slaughter is on its way to taking place in the city. We've seen the international community, or some parts of it, saying that it is important that anyone who can help the people in Kobani do so. So what exactly is going on? What are we seeing?
What we're seeing here is we're seeing a deliberately ineffective bombing campaign by NATO and their allies, including Turkey's uninvolvement. Unlike the scenario, let's say, in Kosovo 15 years ago, when in fact you had over 1,000 aircraft involved and over 38,000 combat missions in 10 weeks, that's 3,800 missions a week, which would be about over 500 missions a day. And then we've had less than 40 to 50 missions around Kobani alone in the past 4 weeks. So I think what we're seeing here is a deliberate, ineffective attack, and there are several reasons for this. One of the reasons is many of the intelligence community operatives that are embedded with ISIS are basically directing ISIS to take out the PKK and take out the YPG. Now, these groups have been at war with Turkey and the northern Kurds in Iraq for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. These groups are a nemesis, but yet they're an ally to Israel, because a lot of the Jewish Kurds that were in northern Iraq joined the PKK and have been being helped by Israel, Spain, Italy, also being helped by the Germans. A lot of the weapons actually were going in through Kobani and were being smuggled in through that area. So this has been traditionally a supply route to the PKK. Mm-hmm. And this is something that the NATO knows. This is something that the Turks know. And it's something that they're not talking about. So they're allowing ISIS, and the ISIS is being directed by the intelligence communities, to go in and wipe out this particular strategic area. This strategic area is also going to be strategic for laying pipeline because of the geographical plateau that it runs on coming out of the what will be the Kurdish regional government. Okay. And don't be confused here. This is about establishing the Kurdish regional government and also about establishing oil rights. Right now, today, Saudi Arabia has reduced the price of oil.